I want to talk to us this morning about strength, size, and power for impact. Please just say that with me so you all, I know you're awake this morning. Strength, size, and power for impact. Are you built with strength, size, and power for impact? That's what I believe God wants from us as a people. It's good to see you guys here this morning. Uni guys. Always good to see uni guys back. Don't smile, we miss you. I don't think you're not missed. It's important that you know that we think of you. Amen. Oh, you doing okay? Birmingham, or you're Liverpool, aren't you? You're Birmingham, aren't you? Treating you okay? That those, let us know they're not treating you. We'll go down and duff them up for you. But how many of you heard the alleged phrase? I say alleged by because there's if you look on the internet, there's a confusion over who said. You know, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, but it's the size of the fight in the dog. Now that's a book version, so don't worry. He didn't say it. Chris Navarro didn't say it. That's an artist who's advertising his sculpture. But I like the imagery of the small dog pushing down the big dog, and that's a bronze sculpture he's done. It's brilliant, and I just think what a fantastic imagery of highlighting the very thing that either Mark Twain said or G. Lewis said. And I say, you go on the internet, they both argue, well, historians argue who said it. It's leaning more towards Lewis who said it, not Twain. But how many of, you know, we've all heard this phrase, haven't we? Have we? Yeah. You sure? Yeah. You haven't? Where have you been the last 20th century, 21st century? You know, and actually, in English, that's what they call an antimaboli. I don't even know I'm pronouncing it right. Antimaboli, that's it, which means the words of the words in the first half of the sentence are inverted into the second half of the sentence. Yeah? And this phrase has been well known and is used on so many things, and it's basically saying that the small animal, it's not the size of the small animal that really matters, but it's the fierceness of the animal that determines it's victory. Now look at us all. We're all different sizes. So if I put the tallest person in here and I put the smallest person in here, in the natural you say the big person should win. But in the spiritual sense, that is not the case at all. Size is not the issue. Ingredients, characteristics, attributes are what move people and changes people and differentiate person from person. Is that true? Yeah. One person may look like they've got it all together, where another person actually has got it all together. And if you look at the outside packaging, we're all fakes to some degree. But God looks at the heart. God knows what lies on the inside. Yeah. You may dress in your Armani and Navy. You may dress looking like the part, but God knows your strength, He knows your size, and He knows what power you carry. Some of us walk into a shop and we don't even have the strength to tell somebody that Jesus loves them. In fact, most Christians are pretty much powerless. They're powerless to change themselves. They're powerless to change their own families. They're powerless to change their own environment. And yet all heaven has been given to you and to me. And yet it must break our Father's heart when He sees His children powerless, purposeless, and pointless on the earth. That's not what God wants for us at all. It's not what God wants for us. But you see, you could also say the size of the dog matters. Sorry, the size of the dog doesn't matter, but what matters is its teeth. Its teeth. Why? Because its teeth give it a cutting edge. Its teeth is where its strength is in. So show me your teeth this morning. Now, if you've got gaps in your teeth this morning, don't worry, just whistle. Let me know. But the dog can only fight by its teeth. and by his jaw. His strength of his jaw and his teeth. Some of us have got no jaw. We can't take a punch. You know that song, I get knocked down, but I get back up again? A good boxer can take one straight in the jaw. And you know, it looks like you're finished when you've been smacked in the face. And you should be. But then some fighters get back up again. And they keep getting back up again. And we've seen when it looks like the boxer's almost dead on the canvas and he gets back up and he reverses the outcome of the fight. It's amazing what you can do if you've got a stiff jaw and a flexible nose. Isaiah 40, 28. I've got a lot of scripture to read, so I'm going to ask you to turn to some and I'll read other stuff to you. Is that okay? Because I know there's a lot of scripture I want to talk to us about this morning. We're talking about strength, we're talking about size, and we're talking about power for impact. What is the point of having strength and size, but having no impact? We need power for impact. Hello? Amen. Power for impact. Isaiah 40, 28. Do you know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. He's the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. Okay. And his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary. And he increases the power of the weak. Strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Weary needs strength. And the weak people need more power. Amen? Amen? If you've ever had flu, I'm not talking about man flu now, a cold. I'm talking proper flu. You'll know the one thing you don't have is strength. You know, when I've had flu 3 times, and it's not good. It's not good. You're out of action for 3 to a month. And I remember, you know, I could go to the gym and do a full workout. But when I had flu, I couldn't even reach the toilet. I was sat on the top of our stairs, grasping for breath. And I'm thinking, this is crazy. Last week, I was running in the gym for 45 minutes. Today, I can't even go to the top of our stairs. So, I know what it's like to be weary. I know what it's like to be weak. I know what it's like to need extra power and extra strength. So do you. And if we're honest with ourselves, we'll start with acknowledging we need more. That's a good place for us to start, that I need more strength, I need more size. I want to say size, I'm not talking about physical mass now. Some of us don't need any more mass. But I'm talking about internally, the man on the inside, the woman on the inside, the size of the woman, the size of the man on the inside needs to grow. Do that. Ooh. We need to grow. We need to have more capacity. So when we run at the things of life that are obstacles, we've got some size to run at it with. Amen. We've got some strength to run at it. And we have the power. When I was a kid growing up, there used to be a cartoon called He-Man. And he used to shout, I have the power. No, you don't. You're a cartoon character. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the power. He turned up and said, I am the power. And greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. So he says he gives strength to the weak and increases the power of the weak. And here's one that you might want to take note. Even youths, even young people grow tired and weary. And young people stumble. It's not just the old ones. The older people stumble because they may not have the flexibility, the agility, their eyesight, their ears, all those kind of things. But the young people stumble because they're double-minded and because they are led astray by influences. We stumble for different reasons. And we find our absence of strength and our size and our weakness gets highlighted differently than when I was 16 and now I'm 62. I'm tempted differently at 62 than I was at 16. Yes? I've got strength now that I didn't have when I was 16. Yes. But I've got size now that I didn't have when I was 16. True? Everything changes as you get older. But I'm still a stallion. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope. Hope what? Hope in what? Those who hope in the Lord. Those who hope in the Lord. There's the key. There's the source of all the strength, size, and power that you need. My hope is in the Lord. When Jesus took him up the mountain, he took him to meet his Father. Because Christ was in the Father. You are in the Father through Christ. You are in the Father through Christ. He is in the Father, and he brought you to his Father. That's the source, the primary source of all our strength. Oh, you may put it in your intelligence, you may put it in your wealth, you may put it in your charisma, but all those things will fail, and I only have a measure of something until somebody else comes along and has another greater measure. But when you have the measure of Christ, you have access to all the fullness. Amen. There's a difference. You have the access to the fullness, and you must build. There is a spiritual gym that you and I must be members of. Yeah? There is a spiritual gym that you and I must be members of. We must learn to have stamina. We must learn to build our strength muscles in the spirit. We must learn to think, to exercise the mind, the heart, the spirit. We do that through prayer. We do that through reading. We do that through worship. We do that through obedience. We do that through so many ways. Every time God takes us into his gym to work out. What do we work out? What he's working in. Every time we work out something, what he's working in us, we're in God's gym. We work out what he's working in, so we're having a workout. Does that make sense? So it's important we understand that. And then he says, he will renew the strength. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on eagles' wings and they will run and not grow weary. A total reverse. And they will walk and they will not be faint. This is a total re-engineering here. Youths who are tired and weary and grow weak. Old people stumble and fall. And here's God saying that if you put your hope in the Lord, hope is a key thing. Hope is the key thing here. It's the anchor that we need. Keep hope. Don't lose your hope. The enemy comes to rob your hope. Because faith needs hope. Faith must have hope. You can't have faith in nothing. You must have faith in the hope that what Jesus and who Jesus is, he'll do it. But as you have your faith in your hope, he begins to totally re-engineer. Sorry, I spat then, sorry. It's a good job that you're so far away from me, isn't it? You'd have got a shower this morning. Those who hope in the Lord, you can expect strength, size, and power to come into your mortal body in a supernatural way. If you work out what God's working in. And remember, you know, the two magic phrases in all sport is the first one's goal. It's a magic when someone scores a goal. Especially if you're the one scored it. Right? And the next word is if. In football, everything's built on that word if. If is not solid. If is circumstantial. But that's why I say the key to your power and strength, it rests on that word if. If you will work out. If you will walk out and work out what God's working in, then strength can be added. Size can be added. And power for impact will be given. Yeah? Every time you start praying over it into a situation, you see the power of your prayer by how it's answered. And how what gets answered determines the strength that you keep pushing. If you're weak about an area of prayer, how do you expect power to be added to that area? So the more force you put into that area of prayer, the more power shows up in that area. If you're casual about some areas, then guess what? Less power will be seen in that area. This is why the Bible tells us what to think, how to think, and where to place our prayers so that God's power can rest upon you and be seen in the everyday of our life. Amen? Where's my words gone? Here we go. Isaiah 45, 5 says, I am the Lord. There is no other apart from me. There is no God. So he's pretty bold in his statement. I am the Lord. There's no other apart from me. There is no God. And then he says this, I will strengthen you. Though you have not acknowledged me, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, men may know there is no one besides me. I am the Lord and there is no other. I form the light and I create the darkness. I bring prosperity. I create disaster. I, the Lord, do all things. Now, if you can make that statement, then you are someone who has power. You are someone who has strength. You are someone who has size. You cannot make that declaration and not be all-powerful, John. You just can't. You can't make that declaration without knowing there'll be someone out there who wants to rival you. And we already know in Scripture that there is no equal. There is no equal to God. So we can make these statements knowing that he has the full strength, full size, full power to execute anything that his will has decided on. Full power. Can you imagine to be invincible, indestructible, untouchable? Wow. And you thought only Marvel could create those characters. But remember, even in the Marvel characters, what's he called, the fellow with the suit on? Iron Man. Even Iron Man died. So he's not that much of a Marvel character, is he? Allegedly. He will appear in another universe somewhere. Right? But he's dead. He's dead in this universe, but he'll be alive somewhere else. The point is, you and I, our strength grows the more you die. Ah. The more you die to yourself, the stronger you become. So Jesus says, he who wants to save his life must lose it. And the one who loses his life for my sake will gain it. The secret in Christianity is as you die to yourself, you grow stronger in size. Now, none of us don't like that. I'll give you another quick illustration. How many of those who are spiritual have fasted? And when you have fasted, you felt stronger. And the longer you fast for, you feel indestructible. And the less flesh that gets hold of you, it seems like you grow stronger. Food weakens us. It makes us dull. It makes us sleepy. Doesn't it? Right? But when you have no food, I'm talking about fasting. I'm not saying this is the lifestyle. Go without any food. But in that period of focus in your fasting, and you're praying and giving your energy and crying out to the Lord, there's something of his strength comes on us. I remember last time I did a 2-week fast. And I got to the end of 2 weeks, I'm thinking, I'm going to die. But there's something inside me says, I don't want to go back to eating. Because I want to stay in this place. But my body says, you know, we can't go much longer, Captain. She's breaking up. We need something to eat now. So I know physically that my body says, I need some energy. Yeah, my spirit's saying, I am okay. But I understand that my spirit is not, you know, my spirit needs a body. So I need to listen to my flesh in that context. But there was a period when I said to my flesh, you're not eating for the next 2 weeks. And he cried. And we had our our fallout. It's like, we're not eating, shut up. And every day he'd say, is it today? No, it's not today. I don't like fasting. Can I say it again? I don't like fasting. And my body doesn't like fasting, but I know it's essential for me and for you. So we need strength. We need strength. Isaiah 45, God promised strength to the weary. He says, I form the light. He declared himself to be the strength, the size, and the power for impact. You might put size at a disadvantage. You might put your size at a disadvantage. But it's your tenacity, it's your character that puts you as a serious candidate in the sight of God. It's your character that puts you as a serious candidate at the front of God's queue. But you know where you find, you know, they say in sport, and I'll use this analogy to sport now. I'm careful how we use it in the spiritual sense. But in sport, when you look at size versus mass, and you see the small guy and the big guy, and 9 times out of 10, the big guy should win. But you know what determines the small guy when he wins? It's his techniques. The small guy has a technique that the big guy doesn't have. It's his maneuverability. It's his agility. His flexibility. Because everyone has a strength. And it's how you execute your strength in the midst of your opposition that determines the outcome. So though we're not a people of techniques, we do have methods. We do have word. We do have character. Listen, you can't just take the word to every situation and expect the word on its own to operate like it's some kind of magic. We are not Harry Potter. We don't wave our religious wand and say, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Why? Because we read in the book of Acts, there was a couple of dudes called the Sons of Sceva who tried to use the Harry Potter wand. And they realized that what they actually conjured up, that this was a kingdom divided amongst itself. These were demons. These were people who weren't even saved. And they were borrowing the name of Jesus. So we can't just shout the name of Jesus. It's our character on the inside that must carry the name of Christ. Don't you not think demons know when you're a fake? Oh, and you know the heavens know when you fake, because they become like brass. So the heavens know that you're a fake. The demons know you're a fake. Even your friends know you're a fake. Why? There cannot be an absence of character on the inside. And I guarantee every trial that you will ever face, you will be faced, sort of you will be challenged in the area of your character. We cannot bypass, we cannot reduce, we cannot ignore the need for character. And many of us don't have enough of it. Now, we can all acknowledge what I've just said is true. But do you acknowledge it for you? Do you know how much character you don't have and how much character you do have? Because if you think you're the package, there's the blindness straight away. Yeah? We've got to have some character. God can't trust people who have no character. I don't want to trust anybody who's got no character. I'm not interested in your skills. I can train skills. We can teach people to have skills. We can't give people character. Character wins every day over skill. Every day, all day long. You know, a church may have size. It may have many, many members. And there may be a church down the road that doesn't have as many. It's a smaller church. But this church down the road has strength. And it has power that maybe some of the big church, or this big church, I'm just illustrating, I'm not saying every church, small church is powerful than a big one, or vice versa. I'm using an illustration. There could be a church. Now, what's a big church? I don't know. There's the answer. What's the size of a big church? Well, if he's got 50 people and he's got 10, that's a big church. Right? So I'm using the analogy. You put your own numbers on there and don't put a name next to it. Just look at the analogy. church there that's got more people in it, smaller church that's got less people in it. But somehow, this group of people seem to demonstrate a power and a strength that they don't. Size is not everything. Strength and power is what will give you size. What is the size of your God inside of you? What is the size of God inside of you? That's the ultimate question. What is the size of your God? It says in Job that, why was it, Job, when trouble came, you abandoned everything inside of you? Wow. He said you panicked. You basically, I'm paraphrasing here, you panicked, you dropped it, you down tools, and you bottled it. Now, long story short, Job comes full circle. Job suffered more than most people. However, in the midst of a battle, what is the size of your God? Now, faith comes as a mustard seed. It's the smallest of all seeds, but it grows. If it's allowed to grow in the right environment, becomes one of the biggest trees. Now, when God gives you the fullness of his riches, he puts it in seed form. So God dwells in man. How can this God of the universe, dwell, the fullness of him dwell inside me? Well, it's a bit like the genie in the bottle. He's not a genie, but it's the only analogy I can think of. This big can go small, right? It's a seed form, and the more you water it, and the more you work with him, and the more you work out what he's working in, the bigger the God inside of you becomes. The bigger. Now, the genie analogy only works up to a point, because genies are kept inside a bottle. We don't want our genie. He's not a genie in that sense. I'm saying how this big God can be in seed form, right? Can you imagine you carry the seed, the indestructible seed inside of you? The imperishable seed, the indestructible life you carry inside of you, right? All of this Godhead is living inside of you. Is there anything too difficult for our God? No, not for him, but it's for you it seems difficult. You're the problem. I'm the problem. There is nothing too difficult for God. And God says, we can do this. We can do this. And you're saying, well, I'm not sure, God. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if you can touch that cancer, Lord. What do you mean? I'm not sure if I can touch that cancer. There's nothing. I'm God. There's nothing too difficult for me. Let us go together. Let's do it together. And yet the eye gate and the ear gate and the heart says, well, I'm not quite sure. And God says, no, son. Come on. Greater is he who's inside of you. Come on, let's do it. And I'll be total transparent with you. She goes, you know what? I'm speaking to other fakes here this morning. I was in the hairdressers the other day, and I was telling Phil this story. I was in the hairdressers, and I'm talking to the guy, and we're talking. We always talk about football because that's common ground. We've got to find common ground before we go spiritual. Is that okay? So I find out what he likes, he find out what I like. So we know each other anyway. And this was on Good Friday. What's he doing open on Good Friday? I'm glad you asked. He's got cancer. And as he's got cancer, he decided that he would open up, and all the haircuts he creates that day and all the money is going to go to cancer. So it was his way of showing some charity. So he's got leukemia. And what I should have done, and I heard the voice of God, and I did not obey it. And I said to Phil, I was conscious that what I should have done, I was conscious that I wasn't saying it, and I was conscious that I didn't do it. There was nobody in that hairdresser, it's just me and him, and I did not pray for him. Oh, go and beat yourself up. That was an opportunity for the size of God to manifest in that barber's. Now I'm going to go again, even though I don't need an haircut. And I'm going to wait until it's open. I'm going back again. And if he says no, at least I went back. Why? Because there's nothing too difficult for God. I was at least one thing, I was conscious of it. But my conscience does not give me any points. I fall into the bracket of disobedience. No, it's disobedience. It's not human. It's disobedience. Greater is he that is in me. If I'm hearing his voice, it's about obedience. I can never go to God and say, you know what, you made me. He said, that's not an excuse, Tony. My voice, my will. So small can often pack a punch. We know that, don't we? Small can often pack a punch. But big can often land a blow. Small can often pack a punch, but big can often land a blow. I want to be the big that lands the blow in the enemy's camp. Not just be the small dog in the church who packs a punch. I want to be able to stand in that hairdresser's, barbers at my age. We don't pay hairdressers' rates where I go. We pay barbers' rates. I want to be able to stand in there and say, Lord, I did it. And God might say, yeah, Tony, you might be 3 weeks too late. But I've got to go back and finish the obedience. Amen. Yeah. And I may have to do it inside the room when everyone's there. Yeah. Oh, Lord. But, no, that's for sure. But I've got to go back in. So I might come back with even shorter haircut than I came out with. So if I do, you know where I've been. Go on, mate, just do it again. Just cut us again. God says, one of you is going to get a close shave. Yeah. I can hear the Lord saying, don't you wish you had gone the first time? So you think about small can pack a punch, big lands a blow. You know, right now, think of technology. Technology is getting smaller and smaller. But yet, it's getting stronger and stronger. Your mobile phone that you've got in your bag, you've got more technology, more power in that phone that put the first rocket in space. Amazing. Amazing. The fact that I can send a text anywhere in the world and it's there in seconds. Phenomenal. We're living in a great age, technological age. Think of the news that you turn on and you see Russia and Ukraine. The size of Ukraine to the size of Russia. Their resources versus their resources. Russia is 28 times bigger than Ukraine. 28. And look at what they're doing. This small dog's got tough jaws. And it's saying, we're not letting you in. We're not letting you in. We might need some other dogs to help us, some Americans, some Brits, or whatever allies that are in there. Secret forces. Behind there, working covertly. Behind the scenes. The thing is this small dog is pushing with all it's got. It shows us that we can stand and resist. If we've got the right set of jaws and teeth. Yeah? Even if you've got one tooth. Tie a rope around it and pull it back. Yeah? We can do it, guys. Strength, size, and power. You know, when I was young, I used to think that my dad could fight anyone. Except my mum. My mum could always beat my dad. And my dad was 6 foot. A bit like Chris, tall guy. My mum was like Edna. She was only a wee girl. And she used to say to my dad, I'm your size any day when I'm stood on a chair. That's what she used to say to him all the time. And she was only a wee woman. And I thought my dad could beat anyone. And so when you think your dad is invincible, you run your mouth off at that level, don't you? You run your mouth off at that level. Ah, my dad can have your dad. But I had a secret plan, you see, because I'm thinking, well, even if my dad can't win, we'll send the Rottweiler out, surely. Surely is the backup we all needed. So I could run my mouth off knowing either dad will take him out or we call the Rottweiler out. And that was always a good thing to have. If you're going to run your mouth off, make sure you've got good backup. That's the moral of the story. And Shirley could arm wrestle any guy for a fiver. Our God is able and he sends you downstairs to run your mouth off on his behalf. You can stand in the front of a Goliath, and you can stand with size, strength, and power, and says, I will not be moved. Yeah. See this jawline, Satan? Take another punch. I'm holding, I'm standing strong. Why? Because greater is he that's in me. Now, all this, of course, doesn't come on a fridge magnet. All this has to come from the internal. All this has to be built on internally. And it's awful when we're standing in the midst of the fight because we feel lonely. But God is with us when we stand with God. When we stand for what God stands, when we stand for what God stood for, and he's still standing for, God stands with us. God looks for those who will walk with him and stand with him and fight his cause. It's not just about you being a believer and God blessing your life. Christianity and the kingdom is about you standing for what he stands for. And standing in the places there where you need to be stood so light can shine. It's not just about you and your pure devotion. It's about you being a witness. You being a shining light. The kingdom must advance. And it doesn't advance just because you stay home reading your little devotion. That's nice, that's good, but that's not the full picture. Why do you need power, strength, and might to stay at home and do nothing? It's gone very quiet in this church. These things are given to you to go forward. Yeah? So, Joshua 22, 22. It's an easy scripture for you to remember. Joshua 22, 22. He says this. Joshua declares God in this vein. He goes, the mighty one, God, the Lord. The mighty one, God, the Lord. He says it twice. It's so powerful that what he's declaring, he says it twice. The mighty one, God, full stop, God, comma, the Lord. The Lord. And he says that twice. He knows and he lets Israel know. And as you read the rest of that context, Joshua is saying is that we acknowledge you as God, and if we are not in line with you, let us know what you know. Yeah? We know that you're the mighty one, you are the Lord, you are God. But if we've fallen short of your standards, let us know. That's where we're at. We all were quick to say, he's the mighty one, he's God, he's the Lord. But are we quick to stand and say, if I've fallen short of that in my life, will you let me know? So I can align my life to what you're stating. And Israel was constantly falling out of alignment with God. So Joshua was bold. He was strong. Because God told him, be strong. Be courageous. Be brave. Lean in. Brave it out. Stand up. Go forward. Take up. All those things for forward momentum. Joshua, I need to show the nations of the world my strength. In you, I need to show the nations of the world the size of their God can actually live inside people. I need to show the nations of the world, Joshua, through your obedience, the power of my outstretched arm. Through you, David. Through you, Phil. Through you, Scott. He needs to show it through someone else. It's no use God having all this power and has no one to display it through. It's no use you coming to church and singing, this is the house where idols fall, and you walk out with one. There's a lot of idols in here. Bone idols. There's idols in all of us. But as we stand in the light of Christ and his word, and we say, Father, if there's any offensive way within me, show me, Lord God. I want to be that small dog. I want to take that big thing down. Do you want to be that? What a great image that is. A small dog takes the big fella down. Don't you be getting any ideas. The mighty one, God. the Lord, the mighty one, God, the Lord. He knows, and let Israel know. Let the Dream Center let everyone know. See, mighty, it's a great word, mighty. Mighty means possessing great and impressive power of strength. Possessing great and impressive power of strength, especially because of the size. Woo! See, you can be small and be impressive in size. The mighty, the word in Hebrew for the word mighty is the word gibor. Gibor, which is defined as this. Listen to this. It's defined as strength, power, a hero, and a warrior. Wow. Have you ever thought in the context of you can be somebody's hero? I can be your hero, baby. That's the song. Have you ever considered that others may see you as a hero for the mighty exploits that you can do? Have you ever thought our children, first of all, see us as a hero? Then they realize we're not. We shatter their illusions. She will always be my princess, and I hope that I will always be her hero. Yeah? And the point is, her perspective will change because of my behavior. But why can't I be a hero and you be a hero to those in darkness? Why can't we be a light that takes them out of the darkness and brings them? Now, we all like the romanticism of the word hero, but you've got to get into the battle to become somebody's hero. You've got to get into the battle to become somebody's hero. Now, you in your prayer closet, if you're not a person who can move, you can move mountains by faith and prayer. So you can be God's hero on the earth. I'm going to say hero, no one's big. Do you understand what I'm saying here? No one's bigger than God. God isn't saying, you're bigger than me. He's saying, you're someone I can trust. Yeah? God doesn't have Marvel characters. God has people he's chosen. And you're one of them. God's got people he's put his spirit in, his word in, he's invested in. And he knows who it is. He knows those who it is. So strength, mighty refers to the strength, the power, a hero and a warrior status. And the Bible is full of heroes and warriors, is it not? But not every hero fights with a sword. Jesus told Peter, put that sword away. That is not the way we fight in the kingdom. And he was showing a new way of modeling that our warfare will not be of flesh and blood, it will be of spirit. There's a new way. Because if I can justify pulling the sword out, then we'll never move to people. We'll always go to conventional means rather than spiritual. Strength refers to the quality of state, the capacity to withstand great force of pressure. We all go through seasons in life where we have to withstand a great force of pressure in our life. Yeah? It's a time when we have to be physically, mentally, spiritually strong to withstand it. Every church has its size, but not every church has discovered its power. Not every church has discovered its power, and not every church is willing to discover its power. That's more the case. Everybody wants to go and pursue their own life, do their own thing. So you want power to do your own thing. Well, I've just summed it up. It's your own thing. It's power to do your own thing. And then you say, well, I just hope it's God's will for my life, and it might well be. But the point is, at what point do you ever represent him? You're being blessed, and you're quick to say, I'm being blessed by him, but when do we ever represent him? The power to represent. The power to represent is the power you and I need. The power. Oh, we all want to present, don't we? We all got something that we want to present. We want to present ourselves to our new employers. We want to present our skills and our knowledge to a new crowd. We want to present our fashion to the latest circle of friends. He didn't say present, he said represent. Can you represent me? Are you my representative that I will send out like a light in the dark? You're my representative. And in your representing, you will have the opportunity to present truth. But you are the representative I send first. You are the light. And then once you're the light, what comes out of your mouth is the power that is attached to the source of the light. Does this make sense? So Colossians 2:12, having been buried with him in baptism, raised with him through your faith in the power of God. Say it again. Having been buried, Colossians 2:12, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature. Watch this. The power of God made you alive in Christ. The power of God stepped into death and darkness and made you alive in Christ. You have the power to represent. For he forgave all our sins, having cancelled the written code with his regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. Watch this. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he then made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. This is what you are taught and called to represent. You and I, through your light, have the ability to present and represent light. The light is the power. The light does the work through you. Do you understand that? You shine, let the light, the effects of the light carries its own power. But you're meant to shine. You're meant to shine. Let the light do its own work. But you must shine. And then we used to sing that song, didn't we? This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, give me a break. This ain't little light at all. If you understand the size of God that's in you, the strength of God in you, and the power of God in you, this ain't no little light of mine. Do you understand that? I know we sang it as a kid, and I understand there's a place for it, but we're not kids no more. This mighty light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This mighty light of mine, not this little light of mine. We're gonna have some gibber shine. We're gonna have some gibber, some warrior light. Some of you, not cellular light, warrior light. Not warrior light, warrior light. Amen. Psalm 24, verse 8. We'll bring this to an end because I've got far more than your backside can endure. Psalm 24, 8 says, "Who is the King of Glory? Who is this King? Let's sort him out once and for all. Who is he? Who is he?" And the response comes back. Can you read your Bible? Come on. Now, why don't you say it like it's written? The Lord, strong and mighty. See, that's my light. My little light goes, the Lord, strong and mighty. But the warrior in me stands up and goes, the Lord, strong and mighty. You are God. What was it he said? Go back there. The mighty one. God, the Lord. That's what Joshua said. The mighty one. God, the Lord. And then we come back here and he says, who is this King of Glory? Straight away, the Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads. You see, you've got to say it with the strength that is written. See, once you say, if you say it like this, watch, just get this. This and this little light of yours, I'm going to let it shine mentality says this. When you read things and you've got this little light of yours mentality, you let the emphasis of Scripture get away from you. Oh, who is the King of glory? Oh, he's the Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift up, you ancient doors. The King of glory may come in. Does that inspire you to go and take a giant down? No. But when I read it in the context that it's written, and I see I haven't got this little light of mine, I've got this mighty light of mine that is able to present and represent him. But Tony, that's not how I feel. I didn't ask you to feel. I asked you to align. Align to what he said. This isn't emotion. This is you aligning your heart to what's being written. He's talking to you. This is the Father that's in you. This is the Father that Jesus took his disciples to meet. You see, most guys, when they date, they take them home to meet your mother and father. Well, this Jesus in this relationship says, I've got somebody I want you to meet. It's my dad. And we're going to show up and he's going to show off. He takes them in. Straight away, the Father brings his glory, and Jesus steps into that glory, and Peter says, whoa, we don't belong part of this. And Jesus is saying, no, Peter, you see the two guys over here, Moses and Elijah? Yep. You see you and them two are part of the same source, me and the Father. This light that's shining around is not little, Peter. This glory that's shining around, whenever you read light in the Bible, it ain't no little light. When angels turn up, people are always fearful. Whenever God's glory shines up, people can't stand. This ain't no little light that's going to shine. God only has to stand. This is no Gandalf, by the way. God isn't Gandalf with his magic wand. No, no, you shall not pass. No, please. When God shows up, light blinds people. Paul, when Paul was on that Damascus road, that light brought him to his knees. This ain't no little light of mine. This is a mighty light. So when we read it, who is the King of glory? Now you've got to ask yourself, who is the one speaking? You're reading it, but who is the one speaking? The voice behind it is the Spirit. And you've got to read it by in the context of the one who's asking the question. Who is this King of glory? My response to it is the Lord. Strong and mighty. See, when I respond to the way it's written, there's a very, very different action. I cannot read it in a suggestive manner, in a casual manner, a half-hearted way. I have to respond in the way it's written.
Yeah, word of God.
It is. Respond to what's been written. Civil play. Who is this King? I'll keep asking until you respond. Who is this King, Phil?
Yeah, he's the Lord, strong and mighty.
Yeah.
Who is this King, Dave? Who is this King, Joel? Right. Who is this King? He's the Lord. He's strong and he's mighty. He's the Lord, strong and mighty. Not in you, he ain't. Who is this Lord? I know him. I know him. He's the Lord, first of all. He's Lord. He's strong and he's mighty. He's got size. He's got strength. He's got power for impact. Wow! I don't want a Christianity that's no power. I don't want no power. I want power. And he's given me power. And he's given you power. And I want you to realize what he's given you. So who is the Lord? Let's stand to our feet as I read this. It's a good place to bury the dead. Who is the King of who is the King of glory? Now you're there. The Lord is mighty in battle. So now, knowing that, lift up your heads. See, the lifting of the head is the response to what's been declared and who it is stood in our midst. I lift my head up, it's got my attention. See, if I still told you the King of England was here, or the Queen, God rest her soul, she came, you'd lift up your head. Where is she? She's got your attention. You'd even stand on a chair. Oh, there she is. There he is. Who is this King? Lift up your head. Watch. Oh, ye gates. Come on, the gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors. Open your mind. It's ancient. It needs to open up to a whole new perspective that this God that you're serving is the Lord. He's strong and he's mighty. Open up the ancient gates, for goodness sake. Things that you've been closed to, open them up. Light is trying to shine in. That the King of Glory may come in. Woo! Who is the King? He is the King of Glory. That's our posture. So when I stand before the Lord, I must go and say, Lord, you are the King, you're my King. You are strong, and because you're strong and you're in me, I'm also strong. Lord, you are mighty. No, I'm not mighty. I'm mighty in deeds and battle because of the one who is in me. Not because of me, but because of the one who is in me. He says, son, that's the posture of a son. Now that's a son and daughter. I can go to work knowing that is that kind of God inside me, lives in me, is the same God who tells me, now go and represent me, son, and don't ever let me hear you say this little light of mine is going to shine. That's for children. That's for children, but you're not children. You're sons and daughters. From now on, it's this mighty light of mine is going to shine, and I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. You can sing the song if you want, if it helps you skip to work. Amen? Have I woken the dead this morning? Good, because I'm awaking myself now. I preach myself happy. Father, if you will, raise your hands to the Lord. Father, you are the Lord, you are strong, and you are mighty. Oh, that's it, John. Come on, tell him. That's it. That's it. Go on, tell him. Whoa. Wow. Whoa, Father. Strong and mighty. Strength, size, power for impact. Huramasatarianda. Marabasarianda. Kodia Sitiramanda. Sili Baramanda. That's it. Koria Rarababa Sarianda. Lara Mama Kuriondolo Brosuriende. Sharababa Kurianda. Mili Braba Sataranda. Now the scene has been set. I want you to pick up your word. Pick up your sword. Pick up your shield, pick up your helmet, your breastplate, your belt of truth, the shoes out for the gospel. I want you to pick it up, and I want tomorrow when you begin to start praying into the areas of your needs, your desires, wants, I want you to begin to stand and take the Lord, who is strong and mighty, into that prayer. And that's how you must always begin to pray with the Lord at your side like that. The one who is strong, the one who is mighty. Now, not every prayer needs to be shouted because you're not fighting in every prayer. Requests don't have to be... When you release a request, you don't have to fight. Right? You fight against those things that are coming against you or coming against those who you love. That's when you fight. But he's always the Lord strong and mighty. So even when you're doing devotion, you can be strong or you can be romantic with him. But he's always the Lord strong and mighty. Right? He's always, you've got to keep him. This is the God we serve. And when you're making requests known, right, you're not begging. You're asking a God who is strong and mighty and who understands, who's told you, make prayers of, and requests of all kinds. But always never lose the sight. He is the Lord. He is strong and he is mighty. So therefore, you can have his strength, you can carry his size, and you can carry his power for impact. He is the Lord. Make no bones about it. He is strong whether you've discovered it or not. And he's mighty whether you've even heard of it or not. Because that's who he is.
Amen.
And that can be your experience. Right? You don't have to be like a bulldog chewing a bumblebee. No, just know who stood at the side. Know who you're representing. Amen? So Father, we thank you for this word today. We thank you for the truth that is like an arrow. We thank you, Father, Lord, that you are the Lord, you are strong, and you're mighty. And our response is to lift up, to open, and to let him in. This is your desire for us. We lift our gates up. We open up those ancient doors, those minds, the mindset, the thinking that's limited us and kept and shot out the light. No, Lord, we open up the gates, open up the ancient doors, and let the King of Glory come in through your word, through your prayer, through the lives of your servants. Father, we ask in Jesus' name, seal this word. And do not let the birds of the air eat the seed that's been planted. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.